Endangered species. Some environmental activists fret about the fate of the snail darter, or perhaps the spotted owl. But the real endangered species is the family. Fractured, broken, stressed, dysfunctional. All these words describe a crisis in the most basic unit of society. A crisis that begins when marriages fail. Today, a candid look at the causes of these failures. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his four-part series on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. He comes now with message number four, Miles Apart in the Same House.
So, what do you think the American family is going to look like in the next century? According to Time magazine, it will be interracial, bisexual, divided by divorce, multiplied by remarriage. The concept of illegitimate children will vanish because the nuclear family will have vanished. In fact, the nuclear family that was so popular during the 50s will be thought of as having been abnormal. There will probably be serial monogamy, that is, one partner at a time, but several partners during a lifetime. You may get married and write into the contract that you're marrying this person for your college years. And then you have a career, and during that period of time you're married to someone else, and then you decide to divorce that individual and retire with someone that is compatible, finally. And children will have to divide their affection and their loyalty between stepmothers, birth mothers, biological fathers, step-parents, and ex-step-parents. Schools will have to have 24-hour support structures for child care, sanctuary for abused children. Maybe, and Huxley, you remember, presented this in The Brave New World, there will actually be baby hatcheries staffed by nurses who will do the rearing for people, and then everybody will be free and everybody will be equal and live in uninterrupted happiness and bliss. And that's exactly what's going to take place. And if Time magazine is anywhere near correct, I'm glad that I'm living in this century and not in the next one, because the emotional distress that is going to take place is going to be absolutely devastating and unbelievable. And the reason is because God put it in the heart of every little boy that has been born and every little girl that has ever been born to have two parents who love the child but who also love each other, to give it security, stability, and a sense of identity. Today I speak on the topic, Miles Apart in the Same House. Basically, a message on communication, or the lack of it, in our homes and in our own lives. Why is communication so important? Well, there are several reasons. First of all, because communication is necessary to solve problems. You see, communication can be defined as giving messages, both verbally and non-verbally, that are understood and received. And communication solves problems because we need to communicate in this world. Some people are better communicators than others. On the way down to church this morning, I was trying to think of that statement. I hope I have it correctly. I know that you think you understand what I said, but what you heard is not what I meant. Well, sometimes we do get into those problems of communication. There was someone who was writing a biography of a very important person, and this individual's grandfather died in the electric chair at the Sing Sing prison because of a crime that had been committed. And the author wanted to put it in the biography, but you don't want to just say it up front to ruin the person's reputation. So that story was included in the biography, but it was written like this. This person's grandfather occupied the chair of applied electricity in one of America's best-known institutions. He was attached to his position and literally died in the harness. Well, that's one possible way of saying it, communication. Or did you hear about the child who came home and said to her mother, "Mommy, my teacher said that if I am ever absent again from Sunday school, she's going to throw me into the furnace." A mother couldn't believe that the child had actually heard correctly, but the child insisted that that's what the teacher said. So the teacher was asked, and what the teacher said was, "If you're absent one more time, I'm going to have to drop you from the register." Well, communication is important. But there's a second reason why communication is important, not only to solve problems, but that is because of the need for harmonious relationships. Particularly within the family, we have to have the same kinds of goals, the same kind of vision, the shared values, the similar beliefs, and all of that becomes important to the communication process. But there's a third reason why I speak about communication today, and it is the most important. And that is that communication is absolutely necessary for love. It is impossible to love deeply unless you communicate deeply. Unless there is a sharing of who you are with someone. Real communication has not occurred, and real love is impossible. Because it is impossible to love a stranger. Real, genuine love knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about the other person, but still loves them unconditionally, just as they are, with a recognition that improvements may have to be made, of course. Not necessarily loving everything they do. But there is a sense in which that person is received and accepted and loved, no matter what lies beneath the surface. That is genuine, true, lasting, unconditional love. But the problem is that there's very little true communication in our homes. And it's not possible to have a happy marriage, certainly, without communication. And if you were brought up in a home where there was very poor and bad communication, you have felt the effects. There are some people who say, "I'm not going to communicate," except, of course, on the superficial level. And so the talk becomes very, very mundane because there is no real sharing of who that person is. And so what people do is they build structures, they put down the foundation, they build walls, they close up the ceiling of their lives, and then they put a do not disturb sign on the door of their heart. Like one woman says, "I'm married to the great stone face." All that he does is sit there and read the newspaper, and he simply will not communicate. But the problem is, you cannot love under those conditions. And that's why there are so many frustrated women, because women desire communication, oftentimes much more than men do, and they desire to communicate. And it can work the other way around as well, but unless there is a breaking of those walls that have been so carefully dug, there can be no real, genuine fulfillment and love. Well, where did all these problems get started anyway? Why can't we communicate? Well, let's take our Bibles and find out where the whole mess began. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I am always amazed at how many things all began in Genesis chapter 3. Well, you know that Adam and Eve were in the garden and they decided that they would disobey God. And we will be commenting on that again next time in the message. But the eyes of them, verse 7, it says they were opened. This is after now they chose to eat of the fruit of the tree that God said they should not eat from. So sin entered into the world. And that sin that entered into the world has come now upon all individuals, the Bible says. Every single person has been tainted by sin. But notice it says that the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What is the first barrier we notice that sin brings to the human family that is going to block communication? The first barrier is shame. It was not just merely their physical nakedness that they suddenly became so aware of. But along with that, there was also an emotional and spiritual nakedness, because now they were beginning to feel the guilt of their sin. And so they sewed fig leaves together, and they began to hide from each other. And then, of course, they wanted to hide from God. They had been talking to God in the cool of the day, and now God comes along and wants to communicate, and Adam and Eve are nowhere to be found. They are hiding behind fig leaves, behind some trees in the garden, doing all that they possibly can to stay out of sight. The awesome, unbelievable power of shame. Now, where does this shame come from in people's lives today? Some of it comes from their families. If you were brought up in a family where you were slapped and hit and beaten, or where any expression of sexuality was immediately frowned upon and you were made to feel guilty and shameful, you will grow up with shame. Yes, my friend, I know that I'm speaking today to many of you who grew up with shame. And you know, shame can be so debilitating. It can hinder us in our walk with God, because no matter where we go, we bring it with us. And that's why I like to emphasize, and I'm sure that you've heard me say before, that Jesus Christ shamed shame. And Jesus Christ came so that we don't have to be permanently shamed, but we can walk away in freedom. God can help you to take your past with all of its challenges and all of its heartache, and He can help you to put it behind you in such a way that it no longer controls you. It is no longer who you are. Who you are as a believer is someone who's trusted Christ as Savior, who belongs to the living God. And there is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Don't take shame with you. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Also, at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how you can communicate with us, but I'd like to remind you that, God willing, beginning May 31st, Rebecca and I hope to lead a tour to the sites of the Reformation in Germany. We'll be going to the Luther sites, and I've been there many times before, and I will be lecturing at all these sites, but more than that, we'll also be seeing the Passion Play, and then on to Munich. And I'll be taking you on what I call the Hitler walk. Check our website, see if you can join us. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer introducing Miles Apart in the Same House, the last of four messages on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. Tomorrow, our visit to the Garden of Eden continues. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series on Till Death Do Us Part can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com, or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss our next Running to Win.